Welcome to Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Dr. Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation guru, registered hypnotherapist, Enneagram coach, and Reiki master, Ajay Amboris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajay Amboris.
And welcome, everyone, to Mind Matters Radio. I'm Ajay Amboris, your fellow explorer of human potential. And we're here every Monday from 1 to 2. Because your mind really does matter, and we want to give you the latest information that we can to help you expand your horizons, maybe do some healing, all that good stuff. So with me today, I'm really excited about this guest, Dawson Church. He is the author of the award-winning book, The Genie in Your Genes, so fascinating stuff that we're going to be talking about. He's also the founder of the Center for Integrative Healthcare. Dawson, welcome to Mind Matters.
Ajay, it's great to be here, and you're absolutely right. Mind does matter, and we'll find out exactly how in the next while.
Exactly right. Okay, so this is exciting. I've heard a little bit about this amazing research. Maybe you could start off by just introducing what the significance of this research is?
Well, what we're finding in research more and more is the pervasive effects on the body of consciousness. And what we knew earlier on, what we built a picture of the last 30, 40 years, is that we know that states of consciousness have an effect on people's level of happiness and their mental states. So, for example, when you meditate, when you do acupressure, there are various things you can do, and they are really good in certain forms at shifting the symptoms of PTSD, anxiety, depression, phobias, and other psychological states. What we're now discovering with advanced tools like the ability to measure gene expression, gene arrays, with advanced tools like salivary assays that allow you to measure levels of immune factors and stress factors in the body, and other tools like ability to measure heart rate variability, MRIs, EEGs, and so on, we're starting to now turn these ways of looking at the body to examine what happens to people when they do these simple mind-body shifts, like meditation. And we're finding that the effects in the body are massive and pervasive. They happen all over the body. Your digestive system changes, circulatory system changes, respiratory system, immune system, all those things are shifted by these very simple techniques like acupressure and yoga and meditation.
Now that on the one hand, that is almost common sense at this point in time, just because of all the research that's been done, for instance, on meditation. But what I found was really fascinating in one of the articles that I wrote that you had sent to me was that the epigenetic sort of implications of this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Epigenetics is a very interesting field, and it has a phenomenal light side, and it has a bit of a dark side as well. And epigenetics is a study of the effect on the genome of factors from outside DNA, even outside the body. So the environment in which our cells exist affects gene expression. In very simple terms, if, for example, you get startled by something, maybe the fire alarm goes off, maybe there's a barking dog running at you, you have a very quick rise in stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. And what's happening is that the genes that code for those stress hormones are being switched on. So your body is translating that external signal of the fire alarm or of the dog barking into internal molecular messages. And those messenger molecules are then having effects on the body. And so genes are being expressed, genes are being turned on, genes are being turned off all the time dynamically in relationship with the outside environment. And that works well to your advantage when you need to get out of danger, when there's another driver, say, weaving in and out of traffic, you have to avoid them, or a dangerous-looking person on the street. It's really useful to have that startle response to get out of danger. The dark side is that many of us make ourselves stressed when we don't need to be. And for instance, I've done a lot of research on the stress hormone cortisol, and we find that people's cortisol levels are way too high at baseline. People's levels of anxiety and depression are often high. And so that anxiety, that worry about the future or depression, that obsession about the bad things that happened in the past, all of those psychological triggers are in effect epigenetic signals to our cells to turn certain genes on, turn certain genes off. And the genes that get turned on are our stress genes that then drive our cortisol high. So epigenetics is fascinating. And it's also something we have to be aware of, because we can be sending the wrong epigenetic signals to our cells by thinking depressing thoughts, by feeling negative emotions, and our bodies can't tell that that thought of somebody who wronged me, that thought of a bad thing that happened in my childhood, your body has no way of telling that's not a immediate threat to your survival and turning on all that stress gene expression. So that's what we're now beginning to study more and more in the field.
So kind of axiomatic that cortisol, the stress hormones, affect the body in a deleterious way? Or is it ever the case? I mean, I know in the short term it can save you from danger, right? You can get your adrenaline going and escape from immediate danger. But over the long term, when these, you know, stress hormones are going in your body, is there ever any positive effect, or is it always negative?
It's always negative because those stress responses are there for survival. And if you look at a cat or a dog or a gazelle or any mammal in nature, when a dog rushes into my yard and chases my cat up a tree, my cat has a big spike of hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. But when the dog goes away and there's no more danger, the cat comes down from the tree, rolls around on the gravel, goes deep in the sun, and it releases that stress. And that kind of cycle is fine. Our bodies have no trouble handling those short-term floods of adrenaline, cortisol, and other stress hormones. What is really corrosive to our bodies is when we have those high levels of those stress hormones for days, weeks, and months. And because we don't have any threats, I mean, no one's like threatening our life, you know, day in, day out. We aren't living after the last ice age in Europe 30,000 years ago when we were competing with scarce resources with other tribes and Neanderthals and all kinds of other mammals. So those days are long gone. What we now tend to do is we have all this machinery in our brains to detect and respond to threats. And we don't have any real threats to use them on most of the time. So what we do is we use them on imaginary ones. We have this huge array of brain function that is all focused on finding and detecting those threats. And so now we turn that into thinking about what my husband said to me last weekend and what my teenage kid is up to and how I don't like my boss and how I hate the political system and all these things. So mentally now we're driving ourselves into high stress, even though there are no physical threats. And in terms of how bad it is for us, the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, massive study of 17,000 people, found that those who had unresolved childhood trauma, so they had bad things that happened to them in their childhoods, which they haven't resolved yet. So those people with high levels of adverse childhood experiences, childhood trauma, had higher levels of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and a whole series of other killing diseases. And these were people in their mid-50s. So a half century later now, they're showing up in the emergency room, they're showing up in hospital, and they've got cancer, they've got diabetes, they've got high blood pressure, they've got all heart problems, all kinds of diseases. And that's the cumulative effect of high cortisol over time.
Now, Okay, just to make sure everyone listening is on the same page, could you describe what epigenetics is? And then I have a follow-up question for you.
Epigenetics is simply the effect on the genome of environmental influences from outside the DNA or even outside the body. And so epi means above the level of the gene. Epi, above the level of the genome, and that's epigenetics. And so again, some of it's environmental in really obvious ways. When we eat food, then our digestive juices turn on. Those genes are upregulated. When we are feeling drowsy at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, then our circadian rhythms are being affected. Our clock genes are shifting in their expression. So our genes are shifting expression all the time. And my real focus of study those is those stress genes, because they have the ability to either help us get out of danger when we activate them in the short term, or really, really degrade our body when we activate them long term. And I'll give you just one example. I was working with a guy at Esalen this last summer, and this was a man in his 70s who had been going to Esalen for 37 years. So there we were in this beautiful environment on the coast of California, lovely summer day and beautiful views, ocean down below, hot tubs, fantastic food, all the delights of Esalen Institute. And this man had had a stroke a few months before, and he'd recovered mostly from the stroke, but he had 80% hearing loss in his right ear. So we had to actually change the chairs in the meeting room to accommodate him so that he could hear through his left ear. And I worked with him for a while. We had him hooked up to an EEG machine, and we'd also tested his cortisol and his immune system before the workshop began. As I worked with him, and he described the stroke, he described his fears and how he had this diagnosis. He had 80% hearing loss, 80% hearing loss in his right ear. And he had all these fears and emotions around that. And we were doing EFT, or tapping, emotional freedom techniques with him, acupressure, along with some cognitive therapy to help him deal with all that stress. So we did some tapping, and his hearing began to come back. Eventually, I said to him after about half an hour, "How's your hearing now?" And he said, "Well, maybe it's about 10 or 15% gone, but it's really come back a lot." So I said, "Well, you know, do you believe it could come back fully?" Now, I didn't know that it could, but no one knows the answer to a question like that. But I'm curious as to the person's belief. So we did some more EFT tapping on that belief that I can regain my full range of hearing. I cannot regain my full range of hearing. I've got this medical diagnosis of 80% hearing loss. It's a fact. I had a stroke, medical fact, and my body has unlimited self-healing powers. We conjured with all of these beliefs. And again, they're not necessarily object of truths, but they certainly, through the placebo effect, affect us. So we did that, and I then said to him after another few minutes, tapping on all of those beliefs, I said, "Okay, how does your right ear feel now?" And his eyes opened wide, and he said, "I can hear the ocean breaking on the rocks below. I've been coming to Esalen for 37 years, and I've never been able to hear the ocean before, and I can hear it now." So that's the kind of shift physiologically that happens when you correct psychologically and spiritually.
That's amazing. Okay. And that relates to my follow-up question, which, from what I understand, okay, you can get your genes, your read by, 23andMe or something like that. And I've done that. And I am APOE type 3-4, I think, which kind of leaves me, for instance, susceptible to cardiac illness. Like, I don't process fats the way my genes are. I won't process fats as efficiently as some other people, for instance. So I eat a lot of animal fats. I become more susceptible to Alzheimer's and cardiac disease and so on. So what I understand is that epigenetics, if I sort of alter my lifestyle accordingly, maybe eat less animal fats, maybe meditate and reduce stress, that I can actually kind of turn off those genes that would result in that, you know, that illness, a trajectory towards that illness. Is that correct?
In my book, The Genie in Your Genes, I have several case studies, and these are studies of identical twins. So these are genes born with identical genomes. So at birth, they're genetically identical. They're indistinguishable from each other physically, usually. And so here you have two kids with the same genes. So if our health outcomes were all in our genes, you'd expect those kids to have very similar lifespans, very similar health spans, very similar diseases. And what I show in The Genie in Your Genes, I show that that's actually rarely the case. You'll find one by the age of 50 that biologically, when you look at her cell age, and this is just an object measure of cell age called telomere length. And so we look at the telomere length of these kids, of these people at 50, you'll find that one will have a biological age of 45 and the other will have a biological age of 60. On average, identical twins die more than 10 years apart. I have many case histories in there, and some of them show one identical twin getting cancer and the other not. And so absolutely, you have those genes. We have these genes, and if you want to get, terrify yourself, get one of those reports, and it'll tell you about your APO gene and all kinds of other things that are out there to get you inside your genome. But the big question is not whether you have the gene. The question is whether the gene is expressed. Just for example, there are genes that are called tumor suppression markers or tumor necrosis factors. And what they are is just fancy jargon for cancer spotters and cancer killers. We have several classes of genes that identify malfunctioning cancer cells and help the body zap them. And so if those genes are turned on high, you want those genes that help your body identify and kill cancer cells, you want those genes to be highly expressed. If someone is very stressed, often their whole ability of their body to have their immune system working at peak is compromised. Like at Esalen, we happen to be doing a research project I usually teach there once or twice a year, but this year, for some reason, they had me teach two workshops back to back. So I was there for a weekend meditation workshop, 2 days, followed by an EFT tapping workshop, 5 days. We did a little scientific study where we measured people's levels of cortisol. We measured their levels of immune function. We measured their heart rates, their blood pressure, and a bunch of other physical markers, as well as their psychological states, like their levels of anxiety, depression, PTSD, and happiness. And we found that after just the two-day meditation workshop, they'd had big changes in all of those markers. Their cortisol had dropped dramatically. Their immune markers had gone way up. Their happiness had improved. Their depression and anxiety went down. Then, with a different group, we did this 5-day study of EFT, both before and after, same markers, immune system, cortisol, and psychological markers. And we found that in that 5 days, people's levels of cortisol dropped by an average of 49%. Okay, this is just in 1 week that they reduced their cortisol by one half, and that is a massive physiological payoff for 5 days of acupressure and being in a nice place. So yeah, absolutely, we can have those genes, but whether they're turned on or off, that's the big question, not whether or not we have them.
Right. I find it very fascinating. Like, I want that report that you said, could, in theory, I mean, that could scare you. I know some doctors, I've read articles where they'll say, I don't want that. I don't want to know if I have, if I'm a 4-4 or whatever it is. That'd just be, I'd totally psych them out. They don't want to know that. But I'd like to know, because of this whole understanding that you can actually turn on and off those genetic, I don't know what you call them, markers or whatever.
Yes.
And
the old dispensation, we used to think that it's all in the genes, the whole theory of genetic determinism, the discoverers of the double helix structure of DNA, Crick and Watson, they believed that all the information resided in your genome, the genes ran the show. And sure, if you believe that, then you don't want to know what bad things lurking underneath the hood of your car, of your body. But when you know about epigenetics, that we're affecting this, and we're not just lifestyle, exercise, lifestyle, diet, all really important factors and have an epigenetic effect on us. But that compared to what we're doing with our minds, they're minor. What we're doing with our minds moment by moment is much more influential on gene expression than what we eat, how much we exercise, all those other factors combined. And if you do all of those things, if you exercise, if you eat a reasonable diet, and you reduce your stress and have a wonderful, happy life, then you're setting yourself up for a very long lifespan and health span, and you then maximize your genetic potential with these epigenetic influences.
Yes. Now, a little while ago, you mentioned telomere length, and I have privy to certain studies that say that meditation, for instance, increases the production of telomerase, which preserves the telomeres. And maybe you could talk a little bit about what telomeres are and what you're talking about when you say that. But also, I'm curious, can you go into a lab and have your telomere length measured? Is this easy to do? Apparently, you were able to do it on this, at Esalen.
The answer is yes and no. Yes, you can go into a lab and have your telomere length measured. As far as I know, and I could be wrong, but I don't think there are any like home test kits or home tests for telomeres. I was in one study, and I know we had to get special permission and mail the samples off to a lab in Canada and have a doctor's prescription for every one. So maybe that's changed now. If it hasn't changed yet, it will change soon because people want to know their telomere length. So telomeres are these little pairs of molecules at the end of your chromosomes. And the way in my book, I have the newest research on telomeres in my book, The EFT Manual, because the EFT Manual is just the how-to book, how-to guide for doing EFT, which is what we did at Esalen for that week. And so what I liken them to in the manual is I say that they're like when you have a zipper in your clothing and you zip and unzip the zipper, there's a stop at the end of the zipper, and when you get to the end of the stop, you can't unzip the zipper any further. So that stop is essential to the zipper's functioning. That stop tells the zipper it's unzipped far enough. And telomeres are like that. So when our DNA strands are separating, when our cells are dividing, when those chromosomes are making two chromosomes in the process of cell division, those telomeres are like the stop at the end of the zipper. They're telling the DNA strand that it's at the end of the strand. And so we need those stops to tell our cells how to divide properly. But it comes at a cost. Every single time the cell divides, one pair of those molecules drops off. And so telomeres get shorter and shorter and shorter by about 1% a year. And so because they're so stable, so reliable, they are regarded as the best biological indication of aging. And so you can go into a lab and have a telomere test done, and they'll then tell you how old you are biologically. So you might be 25 years old chronologically, but what we find is that by the time you're 30, by the time you're 40, that your telomere length is different. Maybe you have the telomeres at the age of 50 of a 40-year-old. Maybe at the age of 50 you've been really stressed, had a poor diet, had other environmental influences, and you may have the telomere length of a 60-year-old. So, yeah, it is possible to measure it. I'm not aware yet of really quick, simple, easy non-prescription tests, although they might be out there, and they certainly are coming if they aren't. And, they give you information about your biological as opposed to your chronological age.
Is it, would you say it's a definitive measure or kind of more indicative?
Definitive. They'll actually tell you what your age is in absolute terms. So when you mail your telomere test and maybe you're 45 years old, and they'll tell you exactly what your biological age is. They'll say your biological age is 48 or 42 or 41, whatever it is. So it's pretty precise.
Wow. That is fascinating. I would love to know how to do that. You'll have to, do you happen to have that information? Is it, can anybody send it in, or do you need it through, like you say, a prescription or through a doctor?
In the study I was part of, you did need a doctor's prescription to get it from that lab. I'm just trying to think. I'm working on a new study design right now. and we want to measure telomere length. And I looked into this about 6 months ago, and as a few months back, it was not possible to do it outside of a scientific research project. You had to be part of a research project, and then you could get your telomere length measured. But you certainly can do things like a cortisol test very easily. Cortisol, that's non-prescription, just go online. There are dozens of companies that offer them. The one that I have a colleague, a doctor friend of mine, I collaborate with, Norm Sheeney, and he favors the test kit from a company called Nichols Lab in Capistrano, California. That's the one he thinks is most accurate. His testers, and that's the one he feels is the most accurate. Is one called Nichols Lab. Get a cortisol test. It costs about $100, $200. Very inexpensive. It's just a saliva swab you chew every 4 hours. Mail it off to the lab. They then measure the amount of cortisol available in your saliva, and that's a good indication of how stressed you are. And you want to make sure, again, if at all possible, you're bringing your stress down, that you're within normal tolerances, normal range for stresses. If you are highly stressed, if your cortisol level is high, do what you can, whatever age you are, to bring it down. Because, as I mentioned, in that adverse childhood experiences study, they found that people who maintained high stress throughout life, who are still stressed and hadn't dealt with those childhood traumas, that they had all kinds of diseases prematurely, and their lifespans are, and their health spans certainly, are much shorter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fascinating stuff. All right. So we need to go to a break. Stay with us. You're listening to Mind Matters. I'm Ajay Boris, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Have you wanted to learn meditation from a true master but didn't know where to turn or didn't have time to travel to the Himalayas? Now, internationally renowned meditation master Ajayan Boris comes to you. Learn at your own pace and even in the comfort of your own home, and receive ongoing support for your practice. The best part? It costs you less than 30 cents a day and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to ajayan.com. and join Ajayan Boris' Meditation Private membership site. You'll gain access to detailed video courses in meditation, weekly live guided meditations for abundance, healing, developing your creativity, and so much more. You'll also have access to a forum to ask Ajayan any meditation-related question. For more information, go to ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com. Ajayan.com.
Do you suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. 3376. That's 425-391-3376. Call now.
Would you like to learn effortless meditation? Meditation guaranteed to bring you deep relaxation, peace, and well-being. Ajayan Boris, who has taught meditation around the world for the past 45 years, is offering a special meditation class at Fern Life Center in Issaquah. This class will give you all you need to enter a deep state of meditation at will, feel profoundly rested, refreshed, calm, and energized. Thoroughly understand the mechanics of meditation so you can use this invaluable tool the rest of your life. To register, email Ajayan at ajayan@ajayan.com or call 425-677-5451. That's ajayan@ajayan.com or 425-677-5451.
Going our own way every day. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Mind Matters. I'm Ajayan Boris, and we are talking with Dawson Church, who is the author of The Genie in Your Genes. Just a quick reminder, we're here every Monday from 1 to 2, and you can listen to us live in the Seattle area or anywhere in the world by just going to ajan.com, clicking the Mind Matters link, and you'll see how to stream the show live. And you can also, of course, listen to over 5 years of great shows that we've had in the past. So just go to ajan.com for that. And not only is Mind Matters live every Monday, but Mind Matters is part of the Healthy You Radio Network. And Dr. Keisha Ewers, the host of the Healthy You Radio Show, is here every Tuesday and Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. So lots of great stuff. Dr. Keisha Ewers gives you all kinds of information about functional medicine and the latest cutting-edge information to help you heal yourself. So, all right, Dawson, we were talking about the genie in your genes and epigenetics and very exciting information, I think, on how we can actually kind of steer, have the knowledge to steer ourselves towards optimal health. And I just think this is the most wonderful thing. And so amazing, cutting edge stuff. Now, you also are an expert in EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. Could you talk a little bit about that and the benefits of that?
I think it has great benefits, and I do it myself daily. I also use meditation daily, and I think these two techniques done in tandem with each other are the most powerful epigenetic interventions I've found so far that are just behavioral and simple and self-help, non-drug techniques. EFT, or Emotional Freedom Techniques, is simply using acupressure, and there are 12 acupuncture meridians that it stimulates, but it uses tapping or fingertip pressure to stimulate them. And you apply that pressure while you're thinking about things that bother you. So, for example, that 71-year-old man I mentioned earlier who regained hearing in his right ear, he was tapping on those pressure points while he thought about all of his fears, his disappointments, some of his worries about the future, his body, and so on. And so EFT borrows techniques from psychotherapy by having you think about your negative beliefs, by thinking about your fears, your worries, bad things that happened in the past, but then you use acupressure while you do it. And what that's shown is that it dramatically affects the body and the mind. Mentally, people have much lower levels of anxiety and depression after they tap. They also have lower levels of PTSD. We've done several randomized controlled trials, for example, with veterans, Vietnam veterans, Afghanistan veterans, even World War II veterans, and we found that after they use EFT on PTSD symptoms, like flashbacks and nightmares, that the average drop in symptoms is 64%. So massive drops in psychological symptoms after tapping, and those differences, those improvements persist. Similar improvements with depression, similar with anxiety, also with phobias. So EFT is really effective for all of those things. It's just a self-help method. You simply think about bad things that happened in your life or that might happen in the future, and then you apply acupressure to actually 7 of those 12 points. And that seems to make people rapidly feel better. So there are over 100 scientific studies showing how effective EFT is. And now we're just beginning to do more and more and more to look at how it affects the body as an epigenetic intervention, which genes are being turned on and which genes are being turned off when you do EFT.
Interesting. Okay, so you kind of alternately described it as acupuncture and tapping. Is that the acupuncture? It's a sort of tapping technique?
Yes, it's tapping on acupuncture points rather than needling. So Conventional acupuncture uses needles. It's done by an acupuncturist who's licensed. This is just something you do yourself where you just apply pressure. If you may have had or heard of the technique called shiatsu massage, and shiatsu is similar. Shiatsu just applies pressure or rubbing or tapping on these acupuncture points rather than needles, and that's what EFT uses.
Okay. So could you give an example of a couple of points?
Sure. One of the points I use a lot, I like personally, is right where your collarbone meets your breastbone on your chest. And if you feel below your collarbone where it meets your breastbone, there's a little indentation there on your body. And a lot of people feel a sense of relief, psychological relief, when they rub or press that point. And I'll give you a web address later on where people can download all the instructions for using EFT and meditation for free. But if you just try and rub or tap one of these points, usually, or several of them, certainly, while you think about a bad event, usually people's level of triggering goes down. Another example from a recent workshop, there was a woman who was really upset and stressed and over a bad situation in her life. She was being harassed by a male colleague at work, and she had a lot of anger, a lot of upset toward him. We had her tune into her body, tune into her feelings, tune into her emotions, and it turned out that the real trigger for her was an early childhood event that had happened when she was 4. So we did EFT, we worked on the childhood event, and suddenly all of her resentment toward her male colleague disappeared. She realized the guy was in danger of losing his job, he was acting out, and her whole cognitive frame, the whole way she saw her current problem, shifted once she dealt with her childhood wounding. And so pressure on these points is really useful. What it does is it reassures the brain that you're okay, because when you think about the person at work you don't get along with, when you think about your job, when you think about your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife, any kind of problem you have in your life, that thought, which is driving your cortisol up and causing you to feel bad emotions, that's just a thought. And that thought, though, is acting epigenetically on your emotional brain, and your emotional brain then is responding with a fight or flight response. So that's what thought does in the body and the brain. And when you have that same thought, that same negative thought you've been thinking for all these years, and you think about that bad thing, but then you tap, that tapping sends a signal to the part of the brain that handles physical safety. And because the tapping is soothing, it tells the body that there's no real threat here. So you're having these two competing signals coming into the brain. One which says, thinking about that report, I'm late in turning in at work, but I'm all stressed about that. And then the second signal the brain's getting is everything's fine because I'm rubbing these acupuncture points. And so what that does is it breaks the association in the brain of having the thought and going into fight or flight. And usually when you break that association one time, it stops being there. So we break these associations one time, maybe two times sometimes for certain people. Like we've done a lot of work in Rwanda with people whose parents were killed in the genocide there. And we find even in severe trauma like that, it's possible to recover with EFT. So it's a simple method, but it works brilliantly on both psychological and also these physical ailments.
Amazing. You mentioned the sort of factor of childhood trauma. Is it usually the case that something that's disturbing us in the present is somehow disturbing us because it's resonating with a trauma from the past that sort of created a certain cognitive configuration such that this present-day circumstance is perceived as dangerous in some way?
Absolutely, Ajayan. Absolutely. It's a perceptive question. And usually there's something in the past that is triggering you. Just for example, one man that I worked with a few years back, he had an issue of being really competent, but usually when he went to do a job interview, he'd blow it. So there he had the skills to do the job, he was qualified to do the job, he'd go in the interview, and he'd get so nervous in the interview, even though he was so well prepared, that he would mess up, he'd forget his qualifications, he'd stumble over his words, he couldn't present himself effectively. So we looked at it and we realized that the real trigger actually came from his childhood. When he was young, the first school he was in was a Catholic school, and he was beaten every once in a while by the nuns. And so here were these authority figures, and he became very fearful of them. And so now, even though that memory is 50 years old and is really deeply buried, whenever he sits in a room with somebody, usually a woman, wearing a professional outfit, usually black and white, like the nuns' habits, the robes they wore, he has this overwhelming fear response, and he blows it. And so he's been doing all of these job training skills. He's been doing these confidence courses. He's been doing all the stuff to address what looks like the problem. And yet the problem is almost always way back in the past. Another example was a woman in our – we have a weight loss program. And people have been very successful not only in losing weight on the program, but they keep it off long term because we measure their weight loss after 6 months and a year. And one woman in that program, she had this absolute craving for cinnamon buns. And we worked with her because she just couldn't pass – the store at the mall where they sold cinnamon buns. She was really overweight. She had about 70 pounds to lose. And she would describe how she was just addicted to these cinnamon buns, but they were keeping her heavy. We just ignored the current situation. We went back in her childhood. We found that one of her grandmothers used to bake. And the smell of baking was this fond childhood memory of hers. And this grandmother was the only person in her childhood she felt safe with and felt was that she really, really loved her. And so she's now displaced all of her emotional feelings, all of her quests for love from her grandmother in childhood onto the food now. And so we worked with the grandmother stuff to do with her childhood, and all her craving for cinnamon rolls just went away in about 15 minutes. So if you think your belief that it's the person in your life right now is simply the problem's way of perpetuating itself. Really, our subconscious is sneaky. These problems don't want to go away sometimes. And so we imagine, we project them onto the husband, the wife, the kid, the government, the corporation, whatever it might be. And what's really going on is that to our emotional brain, this current situation just looks like the old situation. And it's part of our brain called the hippocampus, and its job is to make a match between any current information that might be scary with anything that hurt us in the past. And that was, again, a wonderful way of building our brains in evolutionary terms, did great for our ancestors 100,000, 400,000 years ago. Today, though, it's making many matches between stuff going on right now and stuff that went on in our past that is inappropriate, and that drives our cortisol sky high. So we need to break all of those associations, and it's almost always about a thing in the past masquerading as a present-day problem.
So does the EFT just break the association and leave the past trauma, or does the EFT somehow also heal the past trauma?
It breaks the association, and so you can still remember the past trauma, but the past trauma is no longer an emotional trigger. So you can think back and remember grandmother, or you can think back and remember the nuns, or think back whatever it was in your past, and you no longer have a spike in cortisol. You no longer have a rise in the fight or flight response. You no longer have activation of that emotional part of the brain. So your memory is intact, but you no longer have an emotional response to it. When you no longer have an emotional response, you usually will stop ruminating on it, contemplating it, being depressed by it. And so people's levels of anxiety and depression decrease dramatically when they do this.
Great. All right, we need to go to another break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Mind Matters.
Have you wanted to learn meditation from a true master but didn't know where to turn or didn't have time to travel to the Himalayas? Now, internationally renowned meditation master Ajayan Boris comes to you. Learn at your own pace and even in the comfort of your own home, and receive ongoing support for your practice. The best part? It costs you less than 30 cents a day and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to ajayan.com. and join Ajayan Boris' Meditation Private membership site. You'll gain access to detailed video courses in meditation, weekly live guided meditations for abundance, healing, developing your creativity, and so much more. You'll also have access to a forum to ask Ajayan any meditation-related question. For more information, go to ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com. ajayan.com.
Do you suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. Call now.
Would you like to learn effortless meditation? Meditation guaranteed to bring you deep relaxation, peace, and well-being. Ajayan Boris, who has taught meditation around the world for the past 45 years, is offering a special meditation class at Fern Life Center in Issaquah. This class will give you all you need to enter a deep state of meditation at will, feel profoundly rested, refreshed, calm, and energized, thoroughly understand the mechanics of meditation so you can use this invaluable tool the rest of your life. To register, email Ajayan at ajayan@ajayan.com or call 425-677-5451. That's ajayan@ajayan.com or 425-677-5451.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
And welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters, and we're talking with Dawson Church, the author of The Genie in Your Genes. And Dawson, I know you have a website, and I know people can actually download the free instructions for how to do EFT, which is a fantastic asset. So I believe it's DawsonGift.com, correct?
Yeah, just my name, Dawson, DawsonGift.com, DawsonGift.com. Then you go there to download the free EFT mini manual. And what's really cool, too, is that a few years ago, I was looking at heart math, I was looking at EFT, looking at mindfulness, neurofeedback, and thinking, imagine if you could somehow combine all of them in a single routine. So I developed this method called eco-meditation. And we've now begun to test that and do studies of that, and we're finding that it has incredible both psychological and physical benefits. So the free instructions for eco-meditation and the free EFT mini manual, you can both get from going to DawsonGift.com. And just go to DawsonGift.com and you'll find that. Plus, you'll find things like information about our weight loss program, our love relationships program, our first aid program, and various other ways to apply EFT in your life.
Great. Okay. I'm curious, what kind of issues would EFT be effective in addressing?
It's effective in a wide range of issues. Not as effective in every issue, but effective in a wide range of issues. So we know it works great for PTSD, psychological trauma, and one of the most interesting things is we just finished a study, it isn't published yet, but we've done several studies of people using EFT for weight loss. And in the study, we found that people lost about a pound a week when they began to learn EFT. But when they finished our EFT weight loss program, our structured program, we found that in the year after they finished the program, they lost an average of 22 pounds. So they kept on losing weight even when they finished the program, which is just the opposite of the usual diet. So it worked great for weight loss. We also, in the study, though, we looked at the levels of PTSD, and we found that the women in this group who were overweight had
a clinical level of PTSD. In other words, they qualified for a PTSD diagnosis. I mean, they had such severe psychological trauma, and we just didn't realize it at first. So it works with trauma. But that's why it works for weight loss. It reduces all of those traumas. It also works great for love relationships. So we have many people who have applied it as they work in their marriages and love relationships with their kids, with their parents, and they find we found that their level of relationship satisfaction rises dramatically after they learn EFT, and they can handle all of those stresses. They're no longer projecting their past into their present. They're no longer making their feelings about their unhealed childhood stuff their feelings about their partner and expecting their partner to heal them. They're healing themselves. And then suddenly their partner is still behaving in the way that triggers them or used to trigger them, but they're no longer having this big emotional reaction. So love relationships. A lot of athletes in the recent Olympics were tapping, and there were several camera shots taken at various times during the Olympics, because it's now in Major League Baseball, now in the National Football League. There's widespread use of EFT in athletics. I talked to one Olympic champion swimmer, and she said, "Dawson, in swimming, my sport, a difference of 1/100th of a second can mean the difference between a gold medal and a bronze medal." So they really want to perfect their art. Business performance, there are people in the EFT manual, I talk about people who trade stocks or trade bonds and how their trading activities, they feel, are much more productive after they learn EFT. Because again, they're no longer stressed, no longer driven by those twins of capitalism, Wall Street, fear and greed. They now they're trading unemotionally and making wiser choices. Parenting, really valuable for parenting. I teach many live classes every year. In our live workshops, parents show up, teachers show up, counselors show up. They want to know how to use EFT for parenting. So it works well for that. And also for any fear to do with money or work or career. So people use it for those kinds of areas. And finding spirituality is the big one. We find that most people aren't making enough time for themselves, for tuning into a higher power, for a vibrant spiritual life. And again, we know that meditation and a sense of connection with nature and a benevolent universe has pervasive health effects. So we really recommend people do that. They meditate, have time in nature. And so EFT can be used to bolster your spiritual life, which in turn makes big improvements in your health.
Interesting. Amazing. I'm curious about the weight loss and the difference between the typical weight loss program that somebody might get into, where you're kind of focusing on your diet, you're focusing on calories, whatever you're focusing on, depending on the particular diet. And then, as you say, when you finish that diet, you typically regain the weight, sometimes even gain more weight than you lost. I wonder, is it because this is just kind of addressing the tip of the iceberg and you're not getting to the emotional issue that for instance, that EFT is able to do? Is that, would you say, correct?
Yeah. If you think about an example of the woman with cinnamon buns, cinnamon rolls, she could, like this woman happened, I mean, she'd been on so many diets that she knew more about nutrition and how to eat right than the average dietitian, and yet she couldn't apply it because she was driven by these emotional needs. We find that most people know, especially dieters, know a whole lot about metabolism, about the way their bodies work, but they can't make a diet stick because the weight comes back because they have unresolved emotional stuff, and it's that driving their food choices, not the food itself. And so in our weight loss program, we don't actually prescribe any particular diet. We do give people recommendations, kind of common sense ones like cut out the flour and the sugar, but we don't give them a lot of dietary advice because we know that what they really need is their emotions under control. The average woman, and again, I've looked a lot at the research here, the average woman goes on a total of 18 diets over the course of her life. She loses her body weight and regains it an average of 9 times, and she spends over $200,000 over the course of her lifetime on dieting and related products. And so people are spending a huge amount of time, energy and money on this stuff, and an analysis of long-term studies by the University of California found that they all regain the weight and gain it all back again. So it doesn't work. So you have to go on something that's going to help you with the emotional part of eating.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to end it right there. We are at the top of the hour again. Dawson, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great pleasure. And just a quick reminder, check out DawsonGift.com, DawsonGift.com. I'm Ajay and Boris. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week. Mind Matters is part of the Health View Radio Network.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.